All right, moving on to item 10, miscellaneous staff reports. Gail.
Yes, I wanted to mention that there has been a significant number of March retirement applications that Sisera has received. It's approximately 44% increase over last year and 71% increase over 2020. We received slightly over 200 retirement applications for the month of March. So I wanted to make the board aware of that.
All right.
And that's all I had.
All right. Are there any other staff reports that
Gail, real quick. I was told the other night that somebody was told their first check won't be for 6 months. Is that true? Is it out that far? Do you know?
That's not the average. So I'm not sure if you want to forward me some specifics around that, I can check into it.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Our average is not 6 months.
Yeah, somebody was mentioning at a meeting, they saw a email chain and people were talking about it and it was 6 months from what this person told me. I haven't seen anything. I was just curious because that's what he told me. So
yeah, no, that's definitely not the average.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Jerry Holcomb, you had your hand up.
Yeah, I'd sent Gail a comment when the earlier stats came out about increased retirements. It was interesting to watch that there seemed to be some parallel nationally as well. That, and the thought process appeared to be with some people, I guess, nationally. You know, I'm afraid to come back to the workplace. I'm at an age where I was kind of wishy-washy about retiring. I've done some recalculations and it looks like it might be okay to do it. And so I'm just going to go ahead and pull the plug. The interesting thing about that now is that I'm seeing about a month later, people that are looking at inflation and looking at other things and suggesting, maybe I changed my mind. So there's sort of a reverse psychology going on, thinking that maybe I didn't have enough, maybe I do want to keep busy. So it'll be interesting to see, because the Sisera numbers still are on the uptick, and it'll be interesting to see if they level off or actually track down a little bit.
You never know. Candace, your hand's up.
You did. So Gail, there are over 200 in March. And the only reason I'm asking you this is on April 15th, you had sent us an email saying March 2022, we had 85 retirements compared to 63 in March 2021. But is this year to date, we're over 200? And I'm sorry to act confused only because I was quoting you in my Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday, because Karen Mitchoff said, well, how many retirements have we had? Are we getting a lot more? And I said, oh, well, Gail sent me this, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and it showed March 22, we had 85, and March 2021, we had 63. So we're up a little, but what you're saying, we're up several hundred?
Well, so the 85 was in reference to the retirement applications that we received during the month of March, not necessarily that they were retiring in March. You know, March is the big increase number, right? So for this year, for a March retirement date, we had around 210 applications. Last year, we had I think it's 146 for March of last year.
Okay.
So about 60 more.
I should have read down, and I'm looking now, you have down below that says there were 210 retirement applications with a March retirement date. Okay. And that's my fault for not reading down. I just sort of noticed those numbers up ahead, up above it in your email. And when I'm looking now below, there is in the narrative, it does say there were 210 retirement applications received with a March retirement date.
Right.
146. Okay. Next time I'll read that more carefully. That's helpful to know. Okay. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks.
Any other thoughts or comments on the staff report? Not seeing any. Thank you, Gail. Move on to outside professionals. I don't think we have any on our call. We do not. Trustee comments. Jay.
Hi, just a quick report out. I attended the Pension Bridge, a conference the other week. lots of interesting material there. I think a lot of stuff that kind of overlap with the discussions from earlier today. One note, super crowded. I don't know if you all have been to the Westin before, but you know, they crowd everyone in there for lunch, for the kind of noontime chat and eat with marketers. Nobody's got a face mask on because it's lunchtime. You're sitting maybe 10 to a table. And I think there were, gosh, I want to say there were 220 tables plus, something like that. Wow. Not that I'm scared of marketers, but they're flying in from wherever. And you're not shy about shaking hands with folks. So it was crowded. But other than that, conference was, you know, kind of as expected.
This is what endemic looks like, I guess. That's interesting.
Yeah.
This is what they call a super spreader event.
Yeah.
I only have one question. Was Vice President Harris there?
She has no close contacts, Jerry. All right. Other trustee comments. I have one. I'm just going to throw out that in the past, I don't know, several months off and on, Gail and I have gone back and forth about talking about virtual meetings, hybrid meetings, in boardroom meetings, planning. And it's occurring to me, I'm just trying to read the room here a little bit, read the boxes on the screen, that it's probably useful for us to consider what it would cost in terms of retrofit were we to want to consider a hybrid form of meeting, which would enable us to meet virtually and in person. Not advocating, I'm just saying we probably owe it to ourselves to understand what that costs. I have like rough kind of back of the envelope numbers sense of cost in terms of upgrading the technology, cameras and so on in the room. But I'm thinking unless there's a contrary point of view, I would like to suggest to Gail that we, you know, maybe pencil out what that looks like, ask Henry to take a look at it from the standpoint of budget forecasting cost and just see what it looks like. So we have that information before us, perhaps within a month or so when we next talk about our 30-day resolution. Anybody feel strongly, Jerry?
Yeah, I think a lot has to do with what the extent of those preparations might be. It's probably just a personal bias on my part, but the idea of putting all the board members in plexiglass bubbles, sitting up at the table and doing some similar provisions in the audience, not for individuals, but perhaps for speakers, it just seems like it's overkill to me. I could be wrong, but I think we need to have an idea as to what the various gradations might be of preparation, right? What those might look like.
Yeah, I was thinking for lack of a better term, sort of a menu approach to it, where for instance, what's required no matter what else you do, i.e. camera upgrades, you have 12 computer terminals at the dais, you have the staff as well. So you have to look at all the retrofits you'd need to do to make that work, cameras for speakers and so on. So there's a minimum sort of ante that you have to accept to go virtual. And then after that are the additional items, things like, you know, does a plexiglass screen work? Can the board members be distanced? I think Gail pointed it out at our last meeting, you know, the Board of Supes members sit relatively far apart, whereas we as a group of 12 are much, much closer together, probably within 2 to 2.5 feet of each other.
But then we go into closed session and we're sitting right next to each other eating. So I'm not concerned about plexiglass. I mean, I think we're past the plexiglass. To me, it's really the technology and having the ability for people to participate remotely to me is really, really important. The public in most meetings, not that we have a lot of people coming to Sisera, but I think that's important. And it's nice to have board members and get used to the fact that if you're not feeling well, we don't want to see you at a meeting, but you can still participate from somewhere else. And a lot of that will come down to whether the legislation changes the Brown Act and whether we have to post people's addresses of where they're calling in from. Because right now, of course, we, with the Board of Supervisors, if one of us is not there because a majority of us are meeting in person, we have to post that person's location. Right. So that would make it easier, but I would love to have us have that flexibility where we don't always have to be there in person. And especially because we all go to lots of conferences too. And as much fun as it's, you know, listening to people huddled by a cell phone on, you know, the lobby of a hotel, it'd be nicer to have that Zoom interaction that we have now, even if they're Zooming into the chambers.
Yeah, I hear you. I get the sense that a lot of people think the same way. So the thought is, and I'm not trying to be too prescriptive or specific, just I think I have an understanding what the order of magnitude is in terms of what the cost is, what it looks like, and maybe what some of the menu options are if we wanted to go bigger, smaller, what have you. Plexiglass, no plexiglass, parachute out the back, whatever. We can look at what that looks like and what the cost is. So, Gail, do you think that's sufficient direction that you and I can work on that for the...
Yeah, just a couple of clarification points. So you mentioned plexiglass.
I don't think you really need plexiglass. I think we're past that in the pandemic, and most of us are vaccinated. That went in for the Board of Supervisors when we were 6 months ago talking about going back in live, and that was a recommendation. Now, I don't think I would go to that extent at this point.
Okay.
But I would offer up, you could talk to DoIt, the county's technology group, because they're setting us up, for example, so we can do a lot of our committee meetings. Our municipal advisory councils can start having hybrid meetings. And so we're getting technology sort of set up in a pretty simple form, which pretty much, from what I can tell, is everyone's going to have a device in front of them. They can even bring their own device. You log into Zoom, and you just have everyone muted and the volume off unless they're actually speaking. Then they unmute themselves so the public can hear them, but you don't have everyone's Zoom going. So it really could be as simple as making sure everyone brings their own device. We still log into a Zoom. The camera is on us in our wherever we're sitting, and then the public can see us from that way. And then we keep ourselves muted unless we're speaking, but then we still have that interaction. And so I don't know that you need to invest in a really extensive camera operation, but we kind of continue to run meetings much as we do now, but we're also in person.
We can look at some different camera options. When it comes to public comment, are you looking at audio or audio and possibly video as well?
We do, you know, board, we do both. And that's, we allow people to come in through Zoom, either phone through Zoom or video through Zoom. And it's about half and half. And so oftentimes through the Zoom, we have someone speaking on their phone or video. And so if we were still utilizing a Zoom platform, you would have that ability to, the way we do it on a lot of meetings is, you know, we're panelists, and then what we do here, then you just promote someone when it's their turn to speak. And then if they're 2 minutes or over, you de-promote them and we're done. Not that we ever want to limit public comment, but sometimes you just have to do that. So it actually, the platform that we've been using, it's really not dissimilar if we were to go back live. And that's really what we've been doing in our hybrid meetings on the Board of Supervisors. We're still using a Zoom platform.
I think it's the webinar platform, isn't it? Isn't it generally speaking?
Yeah, we're on a webinar platform.
All right.
Whatever would be least oppressive and still get the job done. I think it's kind of noteworthy that this board, unique set of circumstances, we've had a board member who served here about a year and a half, 2 years. None of us ever met him face to face. I mean, there's something wrong with that picture. You know, yeah. So he came and went, and we never ever even met him face to face.
Yeah, that's true. Very interesting phenomenon. Well, all right. I think that gives enough. That certainly gives great direction, at least to me, in terms of what the feedback is and the thoughts, you know, the way we can consider it. I mean, I have to admit, I had not considered simply using iPads, for instance, for everybody and having that be the primary camera on members for the box on the screen for those appearing virtually or viewing virtually. So that's certainly an option, because I think I had considered the retro, you know, the camera retrofit on each of the stations.
Yeah, and then you know when you're sharing screen, you still have the big screen that we have. Is if I remember correctly, the three times we met in our new chambers. But yeah, and you share a screen, and then you're sharing it on the big screen, but it's also showing up on your little screen. And so Board of Supes meetings, I can look down at my pre-programmed screen they've given me that shows me what the public is seeing, or I can look at a big screen, and it's pretty easy. You just, you know, share the technology that way. And it's also, it's the simplicity of it because we're all so familiar with Zoom. It works really well.
Got it. Louie, you had your hand up.
Well, just a quick question for Gail. How hard would it to get a quote for plexiglass also between the board members? It'd be difficult to get a quote like that, you think?
I'm sure that we could get a quote. I think because of the way that the trustees sit at the table, the plexiglass has to extend out to where your chairs are and that kind of, you know, we have to kind of engineer what that solution might look like, but, you know, we can definitely get a quote.
Okay. I'm just curious because if this thing keeps going on and if it gets worse again, we can then go still have meetings in our chambers and in the boardroom because we have the plexiglass. That's what I'm just thinking further out.
The issue, also is that there's not where the current spacing, and I think Mr. Chair mentioned this last time, is that, you know, with the plexiglass, you know, to go the way it goes, trustees might feel a bit, you know, confined in their seats right. as well with where we're having to put it. But we can explore that and get some different options on what that might look like and the cost and the length of time to implement some plexiglass as well as, you know, the video.
And I'll just add our plexiglass, Gail, just covers to the end of the dais, just to the, we don't go all the way back further because otherwise you would be banging into, it'd be really hard to get in and out of the chairs and all the rest. So for what that's worth, I think it was to sort of, you know, so we're not spitting on each other while we're speaking, breathing on each other. As I said, at this point, we literally leave the dais and go right into closed session where we sit right next to one another and eat our lunch. So I'm less, if we're at a point where we think we need plexiglass to protect ourselves, I'd say let's just stick with the Zoom because that means things are pretty serious and we've got that option.
I agree. I hearken back to something that I think it was based on a true story, a movie called Boy in the Bubble. I don't think any of us want to be those people in the bubbles.
Yeah.
And Candace, you mentioned closed session. The board could meet in the regular meeting room and do closed session in there right. and not use the closed session conference room that we have. That's yeah. been one thing that we've been thinking about. We can also, we are able to put trustees at least 6 feet apart if the board would like to, you know, not have them all on the table. We can have tables in the back, tables in the front, kind of that scenario as well.
Yeah, but and I will say the interesting thing with doing the hybrid meeting is, you know how here we can see all of each other on the screen at the same time. It's actually kind of convenient when I'm in a live meeting to still have my colleagues on camera in front of me. And it's a funny phenomenon. I'm so used to it. But then when someone's speaking, I can, you know, hear them or see them, read their lips or whatever else it is that I need to do simultaneously. So there's something to be said for that, where when you're all spread out or you have people behind you, you kind of feel like you need to flip around if you're going to really be able to hear what they're saying.
That's true.
So you can catch them when they're wincing?
Yeah, rolling their eyes.
Rolling their eyes.
We don't ever do that on the board. No.
Never.
Never, ever. No.
Never, ever.
No.
Any other trust? This has been helpful. I think that was helpful for me, and hopefully Gail will give us a sense of what the options might be going forward. So that, thank you. Any other further trustee comments? Seeing none, we will stand adjourned, and we will be adjourned until May 27. Am I right on the date? Or have I got that wrong? No, 25. I'm sorry.
25th.
It's May 25.
My father's birthday. Except for the audit committee.
Except, thank you, John, except for the audit committee, which will meet on May 4 at 9 a.m. in place and instead of the time slot for the board meeting.
Correct.
And that will be virtual also, correct?
Yes. It'll be fully virtual.
So will you send out, Gail, a contact promotion as you've done for the regular board meetings for the audit committee? That sort of, this is how you connect and whatnot?
Or could I ask you to do that? You'll be receiving your usual invite.
Invitation.
As you do with the regular board meetings.
Very good. Thank you.
Jerry sits by his computer and waits for that email because, you know.
Right. I enjoy being invited to anything.
I understand. All right. Well, with that, be well. David, safe travels. We'll see you on the rebound.
Goodbye, all.
All right. Goodbye,
take care.
All.
Thank you.
Yep. Bye-bye.